When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big money on new windows now at Menards. Update your home with vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows in store or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more window deals happening this week now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. So this week, I read a book that I spent a lot of time on. I read a couple of books this week that I will share I've learned. The one was called Five Personality Patterns. This is going to be useful for you for understanding why you don't get along with your partner in certain ways, for dealing with conflict between people that don't seem to see the world in the same way you do.
And I never have a problem with that.
Yeah, that's always easy. There's a lot of these types of ways that I've read in the past to understand it. This is definitely one of the better ones. So I was surprised that it took me so long to find it. Like, some people love Myers-Briggs. I haven't found that nearly as valuable as I think this will be. So it's based on the idea that people encounter problems when they're little, dealing with intense experiences. And because they are little, from, you know, ranging anywhere from like infant to just a few years old, they have very immature ways of dealing with it. They can't calmly sit you down and say, "Hey, mother, when you do this, I find it," you know, and so they have this mounting frustration or energy, and how they deal with it determines the mode that they often go to in their life. So the ways are, number one is leaving, which is the sense of there's a problem and I'm just gonna fair dust. I'm kind of out of here. And that's associated with people that don't feel often, they're often frail, they're not as connected with their bodies. And by the way, these you don't necessarily just have one of these, but this tends to put you in a certain direction. That their feeling is that they don't feel like safe at all, and the only way to be safe is just to get the hell out of there.
Well, so emotionally leave, so you can disconnect and they can just be like a zombie in front of you.
Yes.
Or they can physically leave.
Physically, right? Remove themselves, and they don't want to deal with any sort of
heightened intensity. Confrontation.
Yeah.
A fight breaks out, they're out.
It's sad, or it's aggressive, frozen. It's whatever. And the freeze is also a very common thing, which is actually like, I've left the building. You know, my body is here, but I've gone somewhere else. So that's one strategy. The other one is called merging. The idea of merging is that you, at some point in growing up, you had to attune to your caretakers so much because they were not reliable in the way that you needed them to be. So you needed to like very, very closely attune to them. Now, we all had this experience at one time or another because we were all literally merged with our mothers. We were inside of her at one point. But this isn't developed past this point in certain people. So there's two types of this. The first way is just pure merging, which is someone who the way that they solve problems is by falling apart and getting weak and hoping that someone will save them or rescue them. He calls this, and I think that it's fair to say, that this is sort of the most feminine pattern. These people, and by the way, all of these have gifts. Like, this person is probably very into connection and interpersonal relationships. They can gauge the feeling of everyone in a room. They're extremely attuned to what other people are feeling because the only way to stay safe is in relationship with other people. You're not going to say, screw this, I don't need you guys, I'm out of here. You need to find a way to be copacetic with people. So like these tend to develop skills in people that can be very positive, but the downside of it is that when difficult things happen, they go into a posture energetically and physically of like, ugh, collapse. The motto of this type of person is, I can't, it's too hard, you know, I don't know what to do. And in that way of behaving like a very fragile thing, they call in other energies that love to be rescuing energies, that type of person.
Which is what?
Well, we'll get to that later.
Okay.
So then there's the flip side of this, which is compensated merging. Now, if you've heard that type, you'll know that that is, especially outside of women, that is not like smiled upon in society. Falling apart is not, it's one of the least accepted strategies in our culture right now. So a way that people deal with this when actually what they're doing is fall apart is they flip the role and they become the caretaker to everyone else. So they're still totally attuned to everyone in the room, but when they feel cold in a room, they'll say, are you guys feeling cold? Are you guys, oh, you're cold? I'm going to get the AC. And the only way that they can start to help themselves is through helping other people. And this is like the mother that is smothering because it's her need for connection that she's feeling and not the child's. And so she thinks he needs rescuing. He needs this. I have to get in there. I have to help him. Oh, I'm doing this all for him. This is your like standard long suffering. I've done everything for you, but it doesn't really feel like that when you're on the other side and maybe you feel guilty about it. That's the compensated merger, which is they're very much tapped into your energy, but won't acknowledge that that's what's going on.
Interesting.
That, like, they'll be self-serving, but they're going to tell everyone constantly that they're serving other people. And they'll often convince other people that that's what they're doing. And again, these have gifts as well. They're extremely attuned. Are you hungry? Are you this? Is you that? But really what they're feeling is like, I'm nervous that you haven't noticed me or needed me in a while. And so this is the mother that can't let go of her child's need for her and doesn't struggles with the child separating and no longer needing her. Mm. This, of course, this can also happen in men. So yeah, that's the merging. Then the next one would be the enduring pattern. This is someone, and again, this can occur for any number of reasons. They're also based on skills that you sort of innately came here with. So, you know, if you're really good at just emotional attunement from a very young age, merging is going to be easier for you. Mm. If you're really good at hunkering down and taking shit, enduring is going to be good for you. And the idea is that the enduring pattern is it's the one that you would imagine this prototypical man of few words, soldiers through it, shit happens around him. He's kind of like the mountain in the storm, doesn't really react, is slow to act, speak, or whatever, and just, you know, the mountain.
And how can you tell the difference between that and like disconnection? Like the person who's frozen versus the mountain?
The person who is frozen, you will feel, this is part of it, a sense of groundedness with the person who is enduring. Like they're present. He talks about the body type of the enduring. It will often look very different than the leaving person because the enduring type still is in their body. They're just like grounding. They're sinking in. They're kind of energetically taking a squat position as they brace for things.
Got it.
Leaving person is they're more likely to be thinner, not take as much care of their body, not feel any sort of hunger or any sort of that kind of stuff because they're so disconnected from their bodily sensation.
Got it.
And by the way, you can break any of these rules and have multiple ones running at different times in different sorts of things. One thing he doesn't say in the book that I see is that I notice the people in my life have one strategy that they tended to really use with mom and another strategy they tended to use with dad. And those tend to correlate to how they deal with men and women or like, you know, the types of challenges their dad gave them versus the types of challenges their mom gave them in life.
Interesting.
And so the enduring type is someone who energetically, they send it down into the earth. They're someone who they didn't, at the time of they were developing, have the capacity to like outright fight their parents. So they become someone who might outwardly say yes, but will move really slow. They'll drag their feet. They self-sabotage. And the hallmark of them is they do not like to be pulled into other people's agendas. So like if you, and I feel this in myself.
Me too.
If you get like, yeah, like I'll sit here and you can rage all day at me and you could tell me that I should do this. And I go, okay, I'll think about it. What I mean is no fucking way. Never, ever, ever. I'm not even letting in what you said at all, but I can take your raging at me forever, you know, because I can just hunker down. And so this type of person, you know, there's gifts of this, which is their grounded in a crisis. They're not the type that's going to freak out when things go bad. They can slow down and, you know, find themselves. A difficulty for them is that if they detect anyone else's agenda, even if it's an agenda for them to get better, go to college, move on, heal, whatever, they're going to resist it because they don't know their own agenda. They only know that they don't want to do someone else's thing. And so they're defined by their resistance. And this is the self-sabotagey And it might not even be obvious to them that they're self-sabotaging. I feel this in myself when sometimes in arguments where it's the feeling that I get when it's like, I cannot concede at all, ever, in this argument. The best way for you to influence me, though, is to state your argument and walk away from me. Because the more you push it, the harder I push back against you. And so the idea is, if you're making a request of this type, and I feel this with you all the time, I have to say it and then leave it and not do it. But if I want to get a massage and I say, I want to go, let's get a massage, we should do it, you'll fight me harder. But if I say one time in the morning, yo, we should get a massage today, and then don't bother you, and then say at 3 o'clock, do you want to go do that? You're way more likely to say yes than if I really want to.
Don't use your techniques against me.
I did this, I've known this for a long time.
How dare you?
I didn't need this book.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely feel the agenda. I felt it in work. Mm-hmm. Most, if you've ever worked a job, Charlie.
I worked, what do you mean?
Remember?
I remember.
It's been some years, but the guys, we're going to do it this way. Yeah. We're going to have it done this way from the manager who has no fucking idea what the fuck is going on in the job. You know, we're going to pick up the cups this way. We're going to, got it. 100%.
Yep. Yes. And it's, yes. And which means no.
No way.
No way.
No way.
And, yes. And it's,
you haven't been here fucking 3 months.
Yes. And there's this passive aggressiveness sometimes, which is like, I'm not going to fight you, but I'm not going to cave to you at all. Next type is aggressive, which is, this is the person who in that same scenario would go, you've only been here 3 months. Why the heck would I? No, that doesn't make any sense. They're going to fight.
Yeah.
Because this is much
more. And they were all in this room, by the way. The aggressive spoke up with me sitting there and be like, got it, 100%.
So you're saying that like at this
event, It occurs. Yeah. Like we saw everyone speak up this time.
The aggressive person went, why? This is dumb.
And
And
no way.
And you just went, just say yes.
Just say yes and don't do it.
the aggressive type is, the idea is that their energy comes up and out. I feel this all the time. And when I say energy, it's like, it's just this energy of combativeness that I'm very aware of in myself, which is, if you push at me, I won't just resist you. I will like
force my agenda back at you.
I will push harder back at you, which is enduring, is just like, you can crash against me all you want. I'm not going to push my agenda onto you ever. I'm not going to tell you, no, this is how we do the cups. You're just not moving me.
Yeah.
This is like, oh yeah. Well, you shouldn't even be manager, you know, like, and the idea of this type is that their personality is structured around a time where they did feel strong enough to win fights. And I won fights, you know, like, or at least they had enough internal resources that when they lost the fight, they didn't surrender. And so that was a big one for me. It was like, I would lose fights with Dad in particular, like physically he could restrain me or, you know, tell me what to do. But there was a part of me that is like, I will never quit. Like, I will. The resistance has just begun.
The Renaissance.
I will go underground. I will sabotage you at every, and you will know it is me that is doing it. And it will have my name on it. You know what I mean? And this is the different thing. Like, the enduring pattern, you're not necessarily going to know that they're doing it. The aggressive pattern, you're going to know that they're fighting you.
Yeah. God, I can't just stop thinking that you've just been using the massage, saying it in the morning.
That's one example. I know that you.
I know, I'm stuck
you
there.
You fight
I'm sorry.
Everything.
Yes.
League of Legends, if I tell you to do something, you won't do it.
Yes.
You won't do it. Henry, go back. Henry, they're going to get you. Henry, they're going to get you.
I've been actually doing better with that.
You've been doing better. Yeah. You can listen now a little bit. But literally, you will just walk forward and die.
Well, you know what's interesting? If we're going to use me as a study case, I felt very more confrontational with my father than I did with other men. Mm-hmm. I think I would say I'm enduring with men, but confrontational with my dad.
Maybe.
Think about sports.
Yeah.
Like really bad.
Yes. And this is where I disagree with him. He says that you have one primary and one backup, and I totally disagree. I think a better way to view this is through the lens of internal family systems therapy, which is, we have multiple parts that are sort of frozen at different ages in our life. And when you're in sports, you might be in aggressive mode. You know what I mean? Or when like, it's not, and it's not sports. It's like that, the energy of that.
100%. Yes. And you just, 100%.
Is going to call that out in you. And so I see all of these at different times in my life. Like, leaving for me, when I think of, you know, being abused That was what I did. It's gone. It's no problem. Like that. That was, and I've that fight or flight. That's what I did at that point in my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I see all of these ones, but the one that is that you'll most often detect in me is aggressive. Now it's tempered, and this is the reason that I don't look just like it, by all of the presence of these other types. So anyway, the aggressive one is one self-asserting.
One thing I remember you telling me about the aggressive was like they believe that the self-asserting, that the world is solved through their agenda.
Yes. And so all of these have a wound. And I paid more attention to the aggressive one because that was the one that I resonated with. But if I can go through, the leaving one's wound is they didn't feel safe being embodied. Like they don't feel safe at all in their body. The merging one's wound is that they can't get full. That like they feel this need for other people to fill them up, and they don't feel themselves inside of themselves. And there's always this need to get someone else to put inside of your system. The enduring type is, I believe, I don't remember as well because I didn't read it as closely. The aggressive type is that they didn't feel contained by a more loving, more powerful force. And this is very true of me growing up for a lot of period, which is, imagine if you lived in a world where there was nobody that was both simultaneously more loving and more powerful than you. Well, then you're the ultimate backstop. You're the only one that can be leaned upon, and you can never fall apart because you're outside of you is either less loving or less powerful. You know, that's all that there is outside of you. And if you have that experience, true or not, about the world of, you know, the container that your parents kept. So for me, it was, you know, conflict with my dad meant that I saw him as, in some cases, and this, it was like spot on at sometimes, this often occurs in young men who rescue their mothers from their evil fathers, which is not true, but is what it can feel like sometimes, yeah. Right? And so I can't rely on this force outside of myself to be bigger and stronger. I'm the ultimate thing. I'm the oldest brother. Advantages of this are, when it comes to problem solving, I believe every problem is solvable by me and is created by me. So I am more capable of solving problems than other types are that might just quit or fall apart.
Yeah, and it makes you incredibly resourceful because you feel like it's just a lack of information that you need in order. So it helps with entrepreneurship. It's like,
yes.
You take Alex Ramosi's advice. I just don't have enough information. Invest in myself. I'll get it solved through me. Mm-hmm. It's not out there that's going to get it. As maybe the merger would. The merger would be like, I need someone else to come solve this specific problem with, I don't know, if you want to take business, for example, the marketing aspect of our product. You're like, I know how the world works.
Well, merging is just like, I can't do it. Someone else has to do it. So the aggressive might say, someone can teach me. I need to get someone to teach me. And so it's not that you can't receive the help of other people.
Okay.
But it's that there's this fundamental belief of I am the one. I am the one in some way who keeps the world going. Like this is the person who does not ever relax into the Tao, the flow of life. Mm. Like they are the engine, which, you know, and you can't trust the universe. Like the idea of even trusting the universe is just absurd. You know, I think these people are probably oftentimes going to tend towards the atheistic perspective because, like, to believe in a God that has your back, that is bigger and stronger and more powerful and can be trusted,
you wouldn't be atheist,
is antithetical to this. And so I look at it and go, oh, that's interesting that I came to that conclusion early at the same time that I was like, there's nothing bigger than me out there. There's nothing, like, nothing is keeping me safe other than luck and, you know, the things that I can see and me ultimately.
Yeah.
And so that's the aggressive type. And again, there's advantages, disadvantages. It talks about them. They often coincided. That was the one that was closest to me. And then there's the rigid type. The rigid type is, rather than merging types, which reference other people, what do you feel? So that will tell me what, you know, what is safe for me to feel and what I feel. Or the aggressive type, which is like, what do I feel? Let me assert that in the world. The rules type is, the rigid type is, what do the rules say? And so they lack connection with themselves. You can think of somebody who was like raised in a very strict Catholic, you know, there's this watching presence of the rules, which could be hippie rules, it could be Catholic rules, it could be rules of being a real man, it could be something out there, but the you got to follow these rules. And the way that they deal with people is they don't say, I'm going to take it from you or you need to give it to me. They say, the rules say you should give it to me, you know, and they often become very good at referencing the rules. These people tend to live, and I see this sometimes more in the past in myself, is that this type of person does not understand that there is a world outside of words. Like the way that they interact can be very surface level with words, where they want checkboxes of how to like do things right, make you happy. And when they're unable to get checkboxes and rubrics and you say broader things than like, I just want you to understand me. I wish you could see me clear. Like that's very frustrating to a type that just wants like, I want a clear checkbox of like, I come home, I take off my coat, I give you a kiss.
Or think of school as if you're a young kid and it's like, I know my homework versus like today, you're going to have to go do
creative writing and we're going to see how creative you are. It's like, no, I want to know five paragraphs and I tell me, you know, like,
How many words?
How many do
I win at this?
How do I win? Yes.
How do I not lose?
How do I not lose? How do I not? Because breaking the rules is a real fear of this particular type. Perfectionism is huge in this type. And because the rules are such this terrifying overlord, also there's an evasiveness and an inability to like own fit, like the perfectionism can also lead to a hiding of one's weaknesses.
Faults.
And in the which is similar to the aggressive type, which is weaknesses are avoided for a different reason, which is that they just feel way too vulnerable. Like they're so
dangerous.
If you're
the master of the universe have some faults, it's no longer the master of the universe.
Yeah. So broadly, those are the five types. There's more that I could say. It's nearly 400 pages of book. There's more in there, but I thought that this was it's been a very interesting way to one lens through which to view various relationships in my life. And I think what it purports to do that it does do is it gives me an understanding for why I am unable to be understood by certain people. Because
it's a helpful roadmap.
Yes, to be like, oh, this person is only, they're very rules oriented. And when I say things to them, like, dude, I just wish you could feel my heart. You know, like, I wish you, like, that doesn't, that, where's the checklist? There's no way to actualize that.
Is there stuff in the book that's like, here's what happens when these two personalities interact?
Yeah, there's some of it. So, like, one that is very common, which is my romantic relationship, is, merging types and aggressive types. So oftentimes you get one type that wants to merge and the other type that is dominant. It talks about the exercises that each one needs. There's broadly four exercises and they can sound airy fairy, but I think that they're a felt sense of them is incredibly powerful. One is me, not me. This sounds crazy, but this is probably true for you if you're out there. Is that people do not know if they're feeling their own feelings or someone else's.
Yeah.
Like it's crazy to have this realization that you, if you're that merging type and you're going, he looks cold. It's like, no, you're cold and you don't know how to feel your own feelings and address them directly. So you need to find it in him. Or I think he needs a hug. It's like, no, you need to hug him and you're not, you are so used to not detecting the difference between those two things that it's very challenging. So merging types really need to like work on me, not me. And when you first have that first experience of, holy shit, I've gone my whole life without really seeing other people.
Yeah.
Because what I saw when I looked at them is that person needs me to hug them. That person needs me to this. Like, no, that's what you're wanting to do or feeling need that is inside of you, but that's not coming from them. And it's a trip. And especially in relationships, when you get two people that are each confused about what's happening, and oftentimes you find people confused in ways that support you, it can be very tough to untangle because now you have, oh no, she's cold. It's like, yeah, I am. And that's just the pattern that you guys have gotten used to. So me, not me is one of the things. Core is one that the aggressive types feel connection with, the rigid types don't feel connection with. The enduring types feel like they've put their core like really low in the ground and it can take a lot of time. That's why they like to go away. They can't feel their core quickly. They need like a lot of space and no other energy in order to feel their core. But the core is the part of you that people ask, I don't know what I want. Somebody asked me, what do you want? That's where you go to ask and physically it can feel like the center of your body. It can feel like all the parts of your spine down to your perineum, basically where you would find the different chakra systems in Eastern tradition, but some element of your gut, your heart, your whatever, some amalgam of that is your core. And I have found that that is an incredibly part of my, it's a deep, important part of my experience. It's where, when I'm at my best, I'm speaking from and talking from, and I can feel it. And that's what this book says, is that when you're speaking to this aggressive type, they're, what they're listening for is if you're talking from your core. And if you aren't, there's this discomfort that I know arises in me. And so, like, my lie detector is actually not based on whether facts. Something makes logical sense totally. It's, is someone deeply connected with their core, which can actually make me very susceptible to people who lie but are very convinced of it. So when I listen to, I mean, I have watched Andrew Tate, for instance, on camera talk about the ways in which he committed tax fraud and talk about the ways, you know, that he calls himself a pimp and all of these things, and come, if not fully admitting, within a hair's breadth of admitting to sex trafficking in a course on how to run camps. I've watched that video at length. But then when I watch him speak, he speaks from his fucking center, man. Like, and I go, I'm listening. You know, like, okay, maybe it was just for TikToks. And I have to constantly remind myself, because I'm actually not, the facts come second to me than compared to if someone's speaking from the core.
It's also, I think, that's the negative. That's the downside. But it's also like being so perceptive of when people are incongruent.
I can also tell when people are lying when other people can't subtly. Yes. Yeah.
And that's really, really helpful.
Yes, I can tell when someone's not speaking from their gut, from their core, from their center. And so that's one interesting thing. And every type can benefit from these, but certain types benefit more from the me, not me, from the development of the core. The rigid type needs to develop.
What does the enduring type need? Because I feel that I have that felt sense of my core being buried deep in time for it to excavate. Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The enduring type?
I don't remember exactly. I can tell you the types. You can tell me which ones. But it has like a list of these. But one is edge, which is, it's me, not me. But it's like, where is my edge? Like,
so I know where no is, which is what rang true for what felt resonant when you talked about the enduring type, which is like, I know your agenda and we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. So like, we can get there via no's. Like, and we can get a big circle around the no. And I'd be like, there he is. He's all these no's.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is in weird way. So I was wondering if there was like an exercise, like how about like you, maybe it's like when you ask your girlfriend to get, let's get to eat, and she's like, oh, I'm down for anything. You're like, how about tacos? She's like, no. Or like, how about pizza? No.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what you want to eat then. Yeah. But I'm not sure.
But she doesn't know. She only knows her no. She can't find the, and that's a small example, but it's like, you can't find the you in there. And that's often true for merging types, is that finding you isn't safe. Like, it's not okay to reference me. It's safer, which is like more annoying, for me to just say no to certain things than it is for me to go to my actual want.
Yes.
And
say,
people can't find it, you know? And I've sat down with many people. They're like, what do you want? And they really can't do it.
Yep.
I have a deeper level of understanding for that. Another enduring thing that I thought is interesting is if you get into those conversations where someone asks you for advice and then says, yeah, but 100 times, That's an enduring pattern. So we saw this that we went to a creator event and you saw somebody go, advice. And they go, I couldn't do that because, and they just do it three times. It's just, I knew to, okay, I can hear you not listening. But another lens to add to that is you're asking me to help find you. You're not sure what you want and you only know how to resist in order to find yourself, you know? Mm. So in having me do this, it could be helpful to you, but it's like, also, I don't want to play the role of like fake advice giver. I'd rather go directly and sit patiently with you And that's a new thing, which is like when I sense people that are resisting advice, I'm going to go, look, I'll take the, if you want to do this, I can actually try to help you, which is let's find you. What do you want? I don't know. Let's take some time, you know, like, you know, let's slow it down. And so that's a new,
that's your confrontation, wanting to get right direct with the agendas though. Maybe what he needs is to go through
is to
the
nose
and to separate or to process through a few nose, a few more nose.
I don't like going.
Yeah, and you're like, let's get down to the fucking cores. Yeah. And so, let's have my core versus your core.
And so what I notice in myself is that I think it's the aggressive energy to other people can feel intimidating because it has an agenda. And I've noticed this in myself. When I speak to people, I'm not trying to hurt them or something, but they can sense me probing for truth, I think. Or it's it's probing for congruence.
Yep.
And they feel it, and especially when they're not congruent.
When you key on it, like you're like a drug dog.
Yes. And I can I'm not trying to, honestly, to me, that's helpful. Like, let's find core. You know what I mean? Yep. Oh, that doesn't match your core. Uh-uh. There's a discrepancy here. That's like a gift from me. An intended gift is.
You're deeply trying to help.
And I see people that have strategies where it's not safe to feel their core, feel that as judgmental or aggressive, or you're pointing out my flaws, or you're, you know what I mean? Like, and for me, the greatest gift is those people in my life when I stray from my core who reflect me back to my core, you know, and go, where are you in this? I go, oh yeah. You know, he's like, that doesn't make sense. It's like, oh yeah. Like helping me find me when I'm lost is the greatest thing. But for other people, that is not so great. Like that needs to be done with a tremendous degree of slowness and tenderness, because core is just not okay for them. So there's a lot of interesting stuff. If you want to read the book, you could do it. I've given you the parts that I think are most interesting. We talked about rigid, talked about these things. And the addendum that I had, which I mentioned, is I do disagree with his assertion that you have one primary, one backup. I see all of these present in different relationships, and I certainly am not fully explained by the aggressive type. Like, you get into certain things with the aggressive type where this type is supposed to be unimpacted by, you know, people resisting, and I have a tremendous amount of guilt, and it's like, oh, I also have this rules type in me that has a rules thing that is ruling my morality and my behavior in a way that you would not predict if you just read this book and diagnosed me as an aggressive type. So that was an interesting thing that I did this week. Anything that you wanted to add?
I've been reading What Happened to You by Oprah.
By Oprah?
Yeah. Oprah and another guy. I mean, they're the one voicing it. What Happened to You?
Got it.
There was two things that I thought interesting. One was the subconscious having triggers as sensitive as just smelling something to send you into like a state. Mm-hmm. The other idea is the idea of dosing in therapy, of like you can overwhelm a patient pretty easily when by not listening to where they're at currently. And so for the dosing story, they use the idea of this three-year-old's mom tragically dies in front of him. And months and weeks later, the dad is walking with the kid in the grocery store, and he goes up to the store clerk and says, my mom's dead. And he goes, oh, honey, I'm so sorry. Thanks. And then the dad, upon leaving the store, says, hey, if anything's going on, let me know. And he goes, okay. Like, you know, you can tell me anything if there's anything like you need to talk about right now. Mm-hmm. And he's like, starts shaking. And then he like gets in the car and he's like, you don't have to shake. You don't have to get. And what the story was trying to illustrate, the kid eventually runs out of the car and then runs in the traffic. And so the therapist got the call. My son is trying to kill himself. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, walk me through what happened each way. And what the kid needed, what the therapist said was that the kid needed is to just be acknowledged in that moment that his mom wasn't here. Mm-hmm. And to go any further at that specific time was overwhelming. And then he tried to kill himself after being questioned eight times. This idea of dosing coming really is an important step in therapy of like realizing when you've had too much and realizing for other people, like when you've gone too far and listening. Because there were signs, especially as a parent for the three-year-old, that this was an overwhelming experience.
Yeah.
And maybe with some silence, he would have seen that the kid would have opened up more.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to, you can tell me anything.
I was going to say, the way that I view that is not necessarily, well, I don't think dosing is wrong, but it's like that kid needs space.
Yes.
A, a big dose of space. It's actually, so I don't view it as a dosing issue. I view it as a medicine issue. Like if he was giving him too many questions and it's like, that's not the wrong dose. That's the wrong medicine.
Like, interesting. Yeah.
Like sit with him quietly. And I don't think it's wrong to view it as dose. You need this much question and this much space is what it feels like.
Well, for the three-year-old, he might've just gone back to playing cars. And from your perspective,
sure,
would have been totally happy all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So that was what I found interesting, because I've had experience in therapy and psychedelic therapy where you come out and you're like, I've had enough. And like, I need to literally watch TV and like shut my brain off. And then, and like the dose has been enough.
What do you think about those experiences? And I think there's of course, a subtlety. And then maybe this is my aggressive type where, because I've definitely experienced that and I'm tapped out. And I've also experienced times where I thought I was at my edge and I got a little gentle push and I was able to go further. I'm not suggesting that for a three-year-old. But it does seem like if you leave 100% the patient in charge of saying when it's too much, you can get types that are like, no, don't go there. No, don't go there. No, don't go there. And you can never get through.
And that person runs the show.
Yeah. And so there does seem to need to be a collaboration, if you want to, between like, you know, doctor or patient or healer and thing that is, I'm listening intently to you. And at times I'm going to ask you if we can push a little bit further than you're comfortable with.
Yeah.
You know,
it's an important thing to figure out. Personally, most of the times where people ask me if I would like to go back in, which usually meant closing my eyes for another 20 minutes and seeing what comes up, is I did. And then even times where I was just like, I need to still be alone even longer than the space is allowing. Like people are cleaning up and going home and I'm just going to still stay alone because I need to stay here. But yeah, that's an interesting one, because that can be, I don't know if that fits into any of the personality types, but as like, as a helplessness sort of strategy to get to avoid pain or pleasure or any suffering. You know what I mean?
What is to just say no?
To say no, to say you're going too fast. It's not my dose. It's
and
to
you use can also go too far. You can be someone who's perpetually in overdrive and says, yes, one more. I could do one more push-up, one more pull-up. Like I think of like David Goggins is like, yes, more. And it's like for that, and I see this, you know, we're talking about psychedelics. For some people, what they need is the healer, therapist to be like, we're going to take a lower dose than you want. And for some people, it's like, whatever, we'll control that dose, but I'm going to... when you're saying I can't handle this anymore, I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'm going to get out of here. What if you just stayed?
Yeah.
And so there is this real subtle felt collaboration. And it's not like, do you need more? Do you need less? It is this, it's tough to imagine an AI ever being able to detect.
Get it right.
Yeah.
Oh, your eyes kind of blink three times. Must mean you need to stay in the room. Here's more.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that I thought that was interesting was just they told the story of two different kids. Both really traumatic childhoods. One was in a coma after being thrown off the stairs by their foster parent, and the therapist walks into the room and they're studying the subconscious and how powerful it can be with triggering old states. And the guy in the room is wearing the same perfume as the foster father, and the kid starts thrashing about, like heart rate at normally one or at 60 or 70, whatever normal heart rate is, spikes to like 130, like they're running a marathon for the 10 minutes the guy's in the room, and they can't figure out why. And then the guy puts two and two together. The therapist is like, here's something as minor as your subconscious remembering a smell of someone who abused you, and you went into your flight or flight response. And then they talk more about the different responses, because a similar thing happened with another kid who was in class and his teacher had a cologne on that was similar to his dad who abused him, and he was the disconnection type. And they couldn't figure out why this student always was good in every other class and then in this class would be really combative with his male teacher. Yeah. And the therapist, can you change? Yeah, I noticed you're wearing a perfume. Do you mind for the next 3 months wearing a different perfume as we do this work? And like, they can't pin it all on the perfume, but what they saw was the kid would fight with the guy and then disconnect, which was the same pattern he had as a young kid with his parent, which was just a reminder of how powerful your subconscious is and how much it's working all the time, that you can be for one kid in a coma, remember a smell, and then your body react.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah, and it's also making broad generalizations about, this is the thing that I take from this book is, okay, so you have a pattern with your dad. you might take that pattern to all other men or to all other situations that feel competitive or to all other situations that, yep, that they, in whatever way smell like your dad or feel like
teacher.
Your dad.
It wasn't a
or,
female teacher. It was another male teacher.
And you can't draw it one-to-one, which is like, okay, this is how you're going to be with men. But it's like, look, if you get a vibe that is like this vibe,
yep,
you're going to go into this thing. And so, these aren't perfect cookie cutter, I can predict 100%, but you do see these sorts of threads, which is things that feel like mom, I'm going to behave like I did with mom. Things yep. that feel like this dad here, but things that feel like dad when he was drunk are going to behave like this. And things that feel like dad when he was nice guy, I'm going to behave like this. And you get this whole suite of a person and a personality that is somewhat erratic, unpredictable, doesn't seem to respond in a way that you might predict from the more objective view of safety of an environment that is, you know, but still helpful to go back and sort of understand these sorts of strategies that people have and how they can get drug along for such a long period of time.
Yeah. And then I think the title that they've reiterated three times is like, it's not why are you like the way you are, it's what happened to you,
mm-hmm.
which they continue to rephrase and remind you mm-hmm. that you are an amalgamation of the things that happened to you and that they're better mapping and directions mm-hmm. to why you do the things you do than the normal thing is, why are you like this?
Yeah.
And it just doesn't ask a lot of, not very empowering.
There's, I read it to you, maybe I read it to, I don't know if I did, but this idea, it was like from 1750, they showed in the book that I read, this is how, was an essay on child rearing, which is like, the good news about the first several years of a child's life is they don't remember anything that you did. So this is where you can be very severe with them and shape their thing. You want to break their will in this period of time because they won't even remember that you've done it. And this mistaken idea, which is a shame, but it matches our own experience, that we don't remember because our prefrontal cortex wasn't totally developed then, but our emotional responses, which dictate the rest of our life, have been being assembled since the womb.
Even in saying that, they like know it to be true though. Like you won't remember, but you'll-
But his will is broken from that point on. And yeah, it's like, oh my God, it is to think how formative those formative years are.
Yeah.
And while you can make, you know, tremendous progress on that sort of thing, it is, there's value to going in and saying, I don't have clear memory of all of this stuff, but that doesn't mean that it's not real. And that I didn't draw conclusions at an emotional, limbic, instinctual level from those early experiences,
yeah.
which were, by the way, primarily not based on what someone said to me, but were based on this vibe that I've, and as you get older, I think you get used to shutting out vibes of situations. You don't, because you're going in, you're talking, hey, what's up? Nice to meet you. You're thinking, how's my eye contact? How's my this? But you're not feeling the really energy is the appropriate word, the energy of a room, because you have so many other high stimulus ways of engaging. And there's value to being like, what is the energy of this room bringing up, reminding me of, not to condemn the room or the people in it, but just to notice
what's
this
me.
Is going to dictate my yep. reaction on which I will place all of these charisma rules or social graces on top of all of that. But what am I building on here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think people lose track of the vibe, which is the foundation of people are like, you know, I'm so nervous in this situation. I do this. And yeah, you can place all the lines and all of the things on top of that, but it is helpful to understand what this vibe is for you.
Yeah.
And it might be, it's oftentimes for young men talking to young girls, it's one of just abject fucking terror,
you know? But sweet lines.
Yeah, and some sweet lines on top of
yeah.
it. There's one other thing, speaking of guys and girls, that was from another book that I read. I know a lot of people, myself at times included, that are, you might call them guy or girl crazy. And the idea that we take that and call that love or romance or something. And in the Jungian tradition, which I actually believe is true, is that it's, he calls anima or animus projection, which is you're projecting your own. If you're a woman and you're in and you're heterosexual, you would project your own inner masculine onto a man. And if you're a guy, you would project your own inner feminine onto a woman and then fall deeply in love with that person or into deep need or obsession
oh God,
with that person
so
outside of yourself. Well, no, it's actually, it's I, for instance, what that might look like is there's a part of me that I think I've gotten to know better that would be sensitive, loving, vulnerable, able to cry, able to feel deeply into life. And that was split off for me as a result of my culture and what I needed to do to get by in my life. And then I see a sensitive, vulnerable, loving person out there that has some of those, and I project all of my stuff onto them, all of the things that I am deeply missing in myself, and I can become obsessed with that. And now I don't say that because that's not acceptable. What I say is, what's acceptable? Well, she's so hot, or she's so this. You know, I have to couch it in terms and understand it in terms that are acceptable. Or if that's not, if it's not that she's hot, it's like, you know, we just have so much chemistry, or whatever your social circle will accept that allows you to become obsessed with this pursuit.
So this is what, how he describes how people fall in that deep sort of like infatuation.
Yeah. Well, so what I see is yes. And I think much of what we call love today, and probably for a long time, is anima or animus projection, which occurs when you take someone and you split them off for parts of themselves in order to fill their social role or survive. And as I have, and this happens naturally over the course of a relationship, they call it the honeymoon period, which you can view as like, imagine if you had goggles over someone and you just projected all of the most, these wonderful parts of yourself that you miss onto them, and you missed so much of them as a result of it. You miss their flaws, their, because you're just so happy to finally get to feel those feelings that are yours. These are your feelings, but you're not allowed to touch them unless this other person brings them in. So the feeling of like safety that perhaps a woman gets when she's with a man is creatable inside of herself, but she hasn't necessarily learned that way to feel just held and safe and taken care of by a stronger presence. And like that vulnerability is protected.
And I think important distinction that I didn't initially felt, I felt like it was this person projecting things that this person didn't have. But
no, you have it.
You have it projecting on this person who also has it. But what
who
it
has
does,
things like it. Yeah,
they have the five big, say five of them, of the big key ones. They also have another other five or 10 or 20, 30 of horrible things that you just are blind to because these five are so big and important to you or your idea of, for us, feminism.
And you literally see people differently. So like you can get this experience with psychedelics where somebody looks like, you're like, oh my God, that looks just like my dad. I had one where my female therapist looked like my dad. I was like, this is freaky as fuck.
Wow.
And the question is, well, what are you seeing in me at this moment that is, you know, doing that?
Okay. Well, how come she turned to a cat?
Yeah. Well, that's a question. But the idea is that you're truly, when you haven't integrated yourself, and anima and animus are huge parts of modern people that are just split, like hard split. You are going to fall hard. And at least in my circle, that is a huge thing that I see, is a real emptiness without romantic relationship. And that leads to either a rushing in and then a collapse, or rushing in and then there's a ton of problems, or like, it doesn't, there's very few, if any, and this would be an ideal, but like, I'm complete and I would like a romantic relationship, and I can see that person for their gifts and their flaws and their things, and I choose to engage with their gifts and their flaws knowing that I'm complete already.
People tend to learn through trial and error unless they're Romeo and Juliet, in which they kill themselves.
So. Well, and I do think that there is a different way, which a lot of people... I've seen a lot of men lean heavily on their wives or the women that they're with in order to access their own emotional states and not develop independent capacity to do so. And I'm sure that there's a flip side for women. I just have, most of my friends are male friends that they...
Say it again.
A lot of my friends project onto a relationship they would like to have, or the relationship that they are in order to have those more, to experience the feminine parts of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thus become, they will date someone who is, from the outside, you go, this isn't you, what you're seeing and what I'm seeing are not the same thing. And
right.
What, like, we're all seeing very different things. And it's not simply because you have private sexy times with this person. It is because you are literally projecting things that aren't there, that are covering up things that are there. And I do think that you can have an experience of, the more healed that you get, just the clearer that you see everything in the world. You no longer need to project yourself out. You can feel yourself on the inside and then let the outside world be the outside world.
Yeah. That made me think of the conversation we had last night, which what I've keyed into, which is interesting, is sort of as you give yourself these qualities and you're with a partner, you can see them a little bit more clear. Mm-hmm. And then also you'll recognize you'll change, and then there might be some drastic changes in your partner that they don't like this new, let's say, healthier, more stoic you. And I'm thinking of our friend and his father had a big experience, and what they realized is that he was kind of like the attack dog for the family. Like, they would go out to
the
dinner.
The father was the attack dog for the family. Yeah,
yeah, sorry, if, clear it up as I go, if I don't say it correctly. And they go, say, let's say they go out to dinner and the food's not good. The wife might say something, things feel weird. And then all of a sudden he would erupt on the waiter, and it'd be all his fault that he just couldn't, you know, not be confrontational with the service staff. And as it got more clear, it's sometimes that, but it's also sometimes that his wife was
subversively planting discontent and in him was, and not owning it herself and saying, excuse me, there's a problem with my salad, and was taking his own frustration, adding hers to it, and it was coming out of his mouth. And they were going, the problem is that he can't control his anger, which is half true.
Yes.
The problem is also that you are just putting underneath the table, you're just slipping him more and more weight, because you won't say, excuse me, this isn't what I asked for.
His food's great. He loves this.
Yeah.
He's having a great time. Yeah. I'm unhappy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because you won't do the assertive thing yourself.
Yeah.
Yes, that is how what I see, like, what most relationships seem to turn into is, and there's something beautiful about this, it's people that are incomplete completing one another. And they say, you complete me. And that's like the most romantic thing. But I actually, like, from that place, there's a depth of love that you can't get to when you're in total need of someone else.
Yep.
Can you want what's best for them? No, you need them next to you.
Yep.
Can you want the best development of their life? Not if it takes them out of you.
In connection
so
with
this
you.
Idea of, like, you complete me is hopefully what it becomes is, and that I'm seeing is, you reminded me of the parts of myself that I didn't have, and then I went out and I found them, and we could still be together.
Yeah.
But you don't complete me.
Yep.
I am complete in and of myself. You complement me.
Yep.
But that wouldn't sound as good in Jerry Maguire.
You compliment me.
You compliment me.
Perfectly.
And I don't need you.
Jerry Maguire, man, no one's going to know that reference, I don't think.
Is that how old I am?
Yes. Sorry.
Everybody knows Jerry Maguire. Get in their comments if you
one comment. I know Jerry Maguire.
If you don't know Jerry Maguire, write it. If you don't know that scene. Cool. Anything else? That was what I had.
That's it.
Beautiful. Appreciate you guys. See the rest of you on Patreon. We chatted about a number of things this week. I don't remember the questions if you wanted to.
We talked about dating. We talked about what you should do in relationship.
Loss of a parent was one.
How to deal with masculinity and how to find male role models if you're a guy. Loss of a parent. Yeah, we talked about some very deep, hard stuff.
Very good. So if you guys want to support us, join Patreon. We've got some more stuff for you over there. You can do so in the link in the description. Either way, we appreciate you, and I'll see you next week.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.